supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O, the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of Shia's sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. Please accept our condolences on this sad occasion. Today, Friday, is the 25th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. On behalf of my colleagues, I offer my condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him.
As-salamu alayk, ya ibn khayr al-bashar. As-salamu علیک ای غریب مادر السلام علیک یا ابن خیر السلام علیک ای غریب مادر السلام
The Jaffari Jurisprudence. Dear brothers and sisters, because today is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, it's nice to mention an important note. It's about the Jaffari Jurisprudence. The Jaffari school of thought was headed by Imam Jaffar ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. Although the fiqh, that means Islamic jurisprudence, was developed by the Prophet Muhammad and his successors, I mean the Imams, the fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence, as taught by Shia, did not have the opportunity to be presented to the masses of the people because of the political predicaments that Ahlul Bayt suffered under the rulers for many centuries. The Imams refused to acknowledge the legitimacy of the Umayyad and Abbasid caliphs and their governments, and thus they and their followers were exposed to tremendous harassment and persecution at the hands of the unjust caliphs. Once the Umayyad government became weak, Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq found a golden opportunity to formulate and spread the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad and his family. At one time, 4,000 scholars, commentators of the Quran, historians, and philosophers attended his classes in the holy city of Medina. Therefore, he was able to pass down the authentic teachings of the noble Quran and the Prophet Muhammad and crystallize them in what came to be known as Al-Fiqh Al-Ja'fari, the Ja'fari jurisprudence. On the said occasion of martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, we express our condolences to all our Shia Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with certain definitions and characteristics of typical Shi'i people as formulated by the sixth and infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Elsewhere, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam indicated Shi'atana ahl al-Huda wa ahl al-Tuqa wa ahl al-Khayr wa ahl al-Iman wa ahl al-Fath wa al-Dafar. Our Shi'is are people who are people of directions, guidance, and piety, and there are people of doing good, and there are people of faith, and people of reaching triumph and victory. I mean, it indicates that those people in the Shi'i community who follow the footsteps of the Ahlul Bayt, and they follow not in words, but in deeds, the guidance of the infallible Imams, and they are really people of piety and do good to everybody. Certainly, they find triumph and they rise over the problems. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam indicated that كُنُوا لَنَا زَيْنًا وَلَا تَكُونُوا عَلَيْنَا شَيْنًا. Those people who are ornaments and not anything, which would decrease our value in community. There are other indications in such definitions. Thank you very much.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid.
In this part, we learn about the characteristics of a true Shia. Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said, "Test our Shia during the times of the five daily prayers, Salat. How do they protect it, the Salah? And also test our Shia in relation to our Ahlul Bayt secrets. How do they protect them in relation to our enemies? And also test our Shia in relation to their money and wealth. How do they spend it among their fellow brothers? When the Shia have some work or job to perform and the time for Salah has also arrived, do they give precedence to their work or to the Salah? There are some people who think that Salah is only to be done when there is nothing else to do, but on tradition tell us that Salah or prayer in its appointed initial time earns the pleasure of Allah, and Salah in its last time earns the mercy of Allah. So the first one that earns the pleasure of Allah is initial time. Choose that one. In relation to the importance of Salah, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib in his famous letter of recommendations to Malik al-Ashtar has stated, make the best of the times that you reserve during the day for Salah and see how all of you, you and your subjects, protect and safeguard this time. On the occasion of martyrdom anniversary of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, we offer our condolences to you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. In this part, we have a life lesson, measure of deliberation. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, improving the situation of life and association is possible through using a measure, two-thirds of which is vigilance and one-third of which is negligence. No work project can be started without proper study, planning, and vigilance. And yet a project cannot be completed in a timely manner without some bold decisions based on intuition, experience, or outright risk-taking. In other words, if we dive into endeavors without careful investigation, feasibly studies and work plans, we will not succeed. However, this should not mean that we get bogged down for months and years in trying to tip up all loose ends and going into unnecessary details to cover all possible uncertainties. In most cases, time is of essence for a successful outcome.
بانی روزه ها شیخ الائم بانی روزه ها
الامام الصادق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه the 25th day of Shawwal in the year 148 coincides with his martyrdom سلام الله عليه at the age of approximately 65 years old, give or take. The Imam Salamullahi Alayhi is well known because he witnessed the downfall of the Umayyad dynasty and the rise of the Abbasid dynasty. This political unrest provided him with the opportunity to publicly teach about Islam, but the Islam of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alayhi. The Islam that Allah brought down to humanity, not the Islam of Bani Umayyah. He started to produce individuals who were very well versed and very knowledgeable in religion. He raised a group of individuals, scholars. A man from Sham comes to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He comes to him and he says, I heard you have answers to all kinds of sciences. He says, so what would you like? He says, I want to challenge you. Discuss. About what? Quran. Imam says, okay, have a seat. He turns to one of his companions or students, Humran ibn Ayun. He says, Humran, go ahead, challenge him. The man from Sham says, I don't want to challenge Humran. I want to challenge you. He says, challenge him. If you can defeat him, it's as if you've defeated me. Go ahead. He argues with Humran. He loses the argument. Humran wins. He comes back to Imam al-Sadiq. I want to challenge you again. About what? This time about Arabic language. No problem. Abban ibn Taghlub, get up. It's your turn. Challenge him. The man loses the argument. Comes back again. I want to challenge you about something, and so on and so forth. Up to 6 things. Every time the imam calls one of his students and the man loses, until the man turns to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, this Shami, he says, it is as if you are trying to tell me that such people are your Shia. He says, yes indeed, those are my Shia. The ilm they have, the knowledge they have. It is such people that carried the knowledge to us today, the knowledge that sometimes we take for granted. Such people who today I mentioned, one of them, Muhammad ibn Abi Umayr. Ibn Abi Umayr spent 17 years in the prison of Harun. 17 years. Being tortured, being beaten. His wealth was taken away from him. He was a wealthy man, businessman of fabrics. He comes back after 17 years living in the dungeon, in darkness, blind. All his wealth is gone. All his books were destroyed. But does he stop? No, he's still now. He says, whatever I remember from my masters, As-Sadiq wal-Kadhim alayhim as-salam, I will tell you. And people start to write his ahadith. That's how the knowledge was carried to us. Through such people. Such were the Shia. In addition to the Imam, salamullahi alayh, teaching fiqh to his companions, making sure they understand religion so well.
Ya Abu Abdullah, Ya Ja'far ibn Muhammad, Ayyuha al-Sadiq, Ya ibn Rasulullah, Ya Hujjat Allah ala khalqi, Ya Sayyidana.
Okay, that was all of today's special on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him. Dear listeners, please keep us in your prayers. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Salam, everybody, and condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, the 16th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Here are some points to ponder, as taught to us by the 6th Imam. Islam could be called naked, thus prudency is its dress, decorum is its adornment, good deed is its personality, and piety is its pillar. Everything should have a basis. The basis of Islam is the adoration to us, the Prophet's progeny.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a beautiful hadith and narration, which has been narrated from Imam Ridha alayhi salam in the famous book Fiqh al-Ridha. This hadith and tradition is about not letting trade and business and work divert you from the ritual prayer, the salat. There's a general verse in the Holy Quran which kind of alludes to this matter. God Almighty says the following: men whom neither trading nor bargaining distracts from the remembrance of Allah and the maintenance of prayer and the giving of salat and the giving of zakat, the giving of the alms. They are fearful of a day wherein the heart and the sight will be transformed. Right? So this is a verse that alludes to the fact that business, transactions, work in general shouldn't divert us from the worship of Allah, which is manifested in the form of the ritual prayer, the salat, and the zakat, the giving of alms, and in general, the remembrance of God. In line with this blessed verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following tradition in this book, Fiqh al-Ridha, narrated from Imam Ridha alayhi salam. The Imam alayhi salam says, when you are engaged in your trade and prayer time arrives, let not your trading divert you from it. They'll say that it's time for salat, it's time for the ritual prayer, and you're at work, you should take time to go and make the prayer. Of course, a lot of people who live in the West, for them, sometimes they can't pray at the time of the prayer, at the time of the virtuous time of the prayer, the beginning of it. Their supervisors only allow them to do so on their break. But if there is the opportunity to do so and pray on time, then somebody should definitely try to do so on time. In continuation, the Imam alayhi salam says, for Allah described a certain people and praised them, saying, men whom neither trade nor sale can divert. These people used to trade, but when prayer time arrived, they would leave their trade and stand for their prayer. They deserved more reward than non-traders who prayed. Right? So people... this is interesting. In the end of the tradition, the Imam compares these two groups of people. One group of people who are businessmen, who are at work, and who take time off of work and their trade to go and pray on time. And then other people who pray on time, but they don't have anything to do. They're not at work. They're unemployed or they're off from work, but they pray on time. Right? The Imam says that the first group, the people who prayed on time, even though they were at work and they're busy at their work, are better than, you know, people who prayed on time but were not at work. The reward of the first group is definitely more than the reward of the second group. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtue of taking time off from work to pray on time and not allowing work to divert us from praying on time and from praying. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد محمد وعجل فرجه
Okay, welcome back. Now, inshallah, our students here will recite one ayah, each of them. We will listen to them, okay?
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
So we start with Hussein Musa, please. The next ayah, ayah 10, all right? يقولون Surah Nazi'at, if you're new with us, Surah Nazi'at, if you have joined us newly, ayah 10 of Surah Nazi'at, page 583, chapter 30 of the Quran Karim. So, after, I will read the ayahs, okay? You should repeat after me. Thank you so much for cooperating. Now,
فحشر فنادى
فحشر فنادى
فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى
فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى
So, I heard one of you say like أنا ربكم الأعلى We That studied a rule, okay, that says when we have this ساكن here, okay, this ساكن sign So it says that when you Stop. Connect this أنا, the word أنا, okay, with the next word, okay it's pronounced in one in a special way, okay? But when you stop here, it is pronounced in another way, okay? Yes. So how? Two cases are there. If you stop and if you connect it, okay?
فَقَالَ أَنَا
uh-huh. If you stop here, فَقَالَ أَنَا You change it to أَلِف مَدِّي أَنَا
Or not فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ
If you connect them together, okay? You skip that alif sound.
So there's a zero on top of the ana.
Oh, that's the sign of sukoon. Baqal, a special type of sukoon. What does it mean? It means that if you stop here, yes. You change this not to a sukoon, okay? You change it to alif maddi. Baqala ana. Ana. But if you connect it with the next part, the next words.
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى
أَنَا It's repeated many times in the Quran, okay? So, أَنَا, أَنَا When do you say أَنَا? When you stop.
When you stop.
When do you say ana?
When you
continue with the next words, okay?
Okay.
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى
Look, sometimes the pronunciation of the Hamza might be difficult for some of us, okay?
Like me.
Like, yeah.
I pronounce Hamza Ayn.
Yeah, yeah. Look, فَقَالَ فَقَالَ عَنَنُ It's okay. أَنَا, you should say, okay? But here, look. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى This أَعْلَى Hamza with عَيْن, it might be difficult. So here you can skip that Hamza. How?
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى
You pronounce the Hamza in a very like soft sound.
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى
Look. La,
ربكم الأعلى
soft
so ربكم الأعلى
yeah it is kind of لعلى sound okay but there is a sound but very soft one so read it with me
فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى
فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى
لعلى
لعلى
thanks
فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى
فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى
إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى
إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى
أحسن
أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء
أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء
Again, here, look, there is a special rule here. Again, when you see the tanween, and after tanween we have hamza, inshallah, in level 3, you will study that you will apply the rule of ilhar. It means you have to, like, appear that tanween sound, an or in or on, whatever, okay? Then if it's hamza, that hamza must be pronounced, like, with a soft sound. Look this way.
أأنتم أشد خلقنا من السماء
Look, خلقنا من السماء Do not say خلقا من السماء No,
خلقنا من السماء
Right? خلقنا من السماء Okay?
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
ربنا ما خلقت هذا
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant. For his servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
Read it now.
أأنتم أشد خلقنا من السماء
أأنتم أشد أشد خلقنا من السماء.
أحسن. أأنتم أشد خلقنا من السماء.
أأنتم أشد خلقنا من السماء.
أحسن. بناها.
بناها.
Great.
رفع سمكها فسواها.
رفع سمكها فسواها.
وأغطش ليلها.
وأغطش ليلها.
وأخرج ضحاها.
وأخرج ضحاها.
وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها.
وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها.
Great, mashallah.
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها.
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها.
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها.
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها.
Look, والأرض, right?
وَلَا رُضَى.
Okay, next time. أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا.
أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا.
وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا.
والجبال أرساها.
أحسن أحسن. متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم.
متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم.
فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى.
فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى.
This was one of the very difficult examples of التقاء الساكنتين. Yes. So this was one of the very, difficult examples. Yes. فإذا جاءت ساكن letter طامة. First starts with ساكن. Yes. تشديد. طام again. ألف ساكن. ميم طام. ميم again ساكن. فإذا جاءت الطامة. Right? Okay.
فحشر فنادى فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى. فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى. أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء. بناها. رفع سمكها فسواها. وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها. والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها. أخرج منها ما متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم. فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى.
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we learned. Let's recite صدق الله as well, okay? صدق الله العلي العظيم. So thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we finished. Level 1 and level 2 of our Quranic sessions. inshallah, in the coming sessions, I really invite you to stay with us with level 3 of our Quranic sessions. I mean the tajweed, which is very important, okay? So there are some like details of level 2, okay? We have that, inshallah, will continue as our level 3, okay? So I want you to stay with us. Thank you so much. We really have to give thanks to Allah Almighty first and foremost, and then thanks to IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network and also the students thanks of Sevier International School.
Thanks to me.
Yeah, the teacher. Thanks to everyone. So, see you inshallah in the next sessions. Let's recite a Quranic salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint. A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A warm welcome to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are criticizing the movie Patriots Day, directed by Peter Berg, produced in 2016. It's an American action thriller movie. It's about the Boston Marathon bombings that happened, in fact, in 2013. We have started criticizing this movie from a couple of episodes back, and then we are continuing our critique of this movie. But before we criticize, I've invited two of my friends, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah, to the studio to help me criticize this movie. Brother Hussein, salam alaikum. Welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam. Glad to be here.
Welcome. Sayyid Abdullah, thank you for coming, and salam alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Let's take a listen to a part of this movie. It's a very interesting part based on religion of Islam, and then we'll be back and try to, in fact, weigh and criticize it or criticize the whole movie based on this part. Don't go away.
Are there more bombs? He met Tamerlan in a bar your sophomore year at Suffolk University.
I want a lawyer.
Tell me, Katie, what are the rewards for a wife of a mujahid? If one's husband becomes shaheed, what are the gifts bestowed upon his wife?
Your mind is too small to understand any of this.
Are there more bombs?
I want a lawyer.
No.
No? No what?
No.
I have rights.
You ain't got shit, sweetheart. Are there more bombs?
Am I under arrest?
Are there more
no?
bombs?
Then you can't keep me.
Sit.
Are there more bombs?
You're crazy. You're batshit crazy. You know that. You are out of your mind.
Katie, your husband is gone. Forever. Sweetheart, you are now a widow and have deserted your daughter, who will grow up knowing her father was a monster.
For a Muslim woman, marriage is a lilting dance of duality. Strength and submission. Beautiful, selfless, rapturous love of two masters. The carnal and the divine. The life a Muslim woman lives is a dangerous and difficult one if she does not submit to her husband. There's a spot reserved for her in hell. Yes. My husband kissed me before he left, and he will kiss me again when I see him in heaven. And you can't prove anything. Masha'Allah.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are criticizing The Patriot's Day, this movie, American action thriller movie produced in 2016, directed by Peter Berg. Well, Brother Hussein, this part, everybody has listened, the integrator asks, what are the rewards of the wife of a mujahid? If one's husband becomes shaheed or martyr, what are the gifts bestowed upon his wife? And the lady, the wife of the terrorist, answers or responds, your mind is too small to understand any of this. The wife is the one who should submit to her husband. What can or may cause such a rift in people's thought and belief systems and ideology in the first place?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, the thing is, what I see in this woman in particular, the wife, right? I feel like she feels like she reached this level of enlightenment and she knows better than, you know, others. And she can kind of tell that, you know, this interrogator wasn't for real. Like, she wasn't a real Muslim, at least. And that's why she kind of saw through it, through the act, and she responded in that way. But the way she responded, it really goes back to how you can tell that this woman has been kind of brainwashed into thinking what she's thinking. And the way it kind of reflects it by looking at her husband, who was a mujahid, of course, and he put all of these ideas in her head, all of these radical ideas, of course, because some of them are okay, but not in the sense or not in the context that you know, they were talking about or they were believing. Of course, the wife of a mujahid, in the proper context, would receive a great reward. But for her, it feels like, you know, she's kind of misinformed. She kind of believed it because, you know, she loved the man and she just wanted to make him happy. Show, like, personally, I don't think she was a true believer in what she was saying.
All right. Sayyid Abdullah, do you attach importance and credence, basically, to what the wife responds to the integrator? Like, there is the reward for the wife of a martyr this way, a terrorist, on the other side.
Yeah, I think, I can understand where she's coming from, because sometimes, Islamically speaking, there are concepts are very hard to for people who are more not Muslims to understand. I find that myself when I talk to non-Muslims, I want to explain things to them. For example, especially what you want to talk about the reward system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for certain acts. So it's very hard for example, how do you explain the fact that martyrs in Islam are actually alive? And Allah says in the Quran, they are alive and they receive sustenance.
Yes.
Such concepts sometimes for someone who doesn't have a background in Islamic theology, mm-hmm. it might be difficult for them to understand. Mm-hmm. So I know where she's coming from. So it's true. Sometimes if you want to explain, you say, you know what, your mind is to, you know, cannot comprehend such a concept.
Yeah.
So from that aspect, I understand exactly where she's coming from because I face the same problem. Now, whether she's
she
right
happens
or wrong,
to be an American citizen, of course.
She is. But I mean, even with Americans, for example, are yeah. Muslims, they are in touch with the Islamic doctrines.
Yes.
So they know exactly what it means to be a martyr and the reward and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something they believe because we as Muslims believe in the unseen. We
yes.
believe in the ghaib.
Exactly.
So we, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us these concepts in the Quran, we believe them.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of information about them. The Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, for example, have gave us ample amount of information about the afterlife so we can grasp the idea. We have
yes,
the idea.
Exactly.
For someone who has no knowledge of these things and all of a sudden they ask you, look, okay, you know, what do you think the reward is going to be for a martyr? I'm like, mm-hmm. I can tell you, but I doubt you will understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So from that perspective, she was telling her, I doubt you'll be able to comprehend because truly, I don't think she'll comprehend because a lot of people in the West, when they talk about martyrs, the main, you know, what do we call it? It's the what that comes to their mind is 70 virgins, right?
I see.
That's the typical scenario that people know, right? Huris, you get 70 virgins.
The stereotype.
You kill yourself, yeah. you get 70 virgins. Who said that?
Mm-hmm.
Where did this 70 virgin thing came from?
Mm-hmm.
No one said 70 virgins. The Quran never said it. The Hadith never said it. The media came up with it.
I see.
And they believed it, right? So this lady, when she was interrogating her, she was asking her, she was trying to kind of provoke her, saying, oh, so your husband is dead. He's a martyr. He's going to 70 virgins
yes.
while you're still here.
I see.
That's what she wanted to get from her. But that female, she gave a good response. It's too hard for you to comprehend. Which, you know, she actually, it's in a way where she just like put her at her place.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back criticizing another part of the movie, Patriot's Day, in this program, Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
That's all I saw today. Good versus evil, love versus hate. The devil hits you like that. There's only one weapon you have to fight back with. It's love. And that's the only thing he can't touch. What are we gonna do? We hunt them down, catch them, kill them, all that. It's still gonna get us. No way it can ever be entirely preventable. Wrap our arms around each other. The love powers feed us. I don't think there's any way that they could ever win.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Hussein, my two guest speakers in the studio, trying to criticize the movie Patriot's Day, an American action thriller movie about the Boston Marathon bombings, which truly happened in 2013. Well, in this part, Brother Hussein, the two police officers at the end of the movie, one of them asks, well, the important or the leading police officer, who happens to be Mark Wahlberg, all right, in the movie, are these events preventable? When they look back at all of these casualties that the bomb actually took, mm-hmm. right? So this is a valid question, basically, all right? And Mark Wahlberg, the other police officer, the leading police officer, answers, what I saw today was good versus evil, love versus hate. When the devil hits you, and then blah, 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 there's only one weapon you have to fight back with. It's love. No way they are entirely preventable by hunting them down, killing them. And again, the rest of the story. And then no way to ever win this war, basically. Is it a true statement, do you think? Can mankind reach this level of common sense, this high level of common sense, basically, to get rid of the concept of the idea of us and them?
So I think
Yeah, his statement is correct, especially when he says, you know, no, they're not preventable. You can't prevent that, of course. You can minimize the chance or the risk of this of such events happening, but you can never entirely prevent them.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing about good versus evil, well, personally, I think that's kind of subjective. It goes back to who you think is good and who you think is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it varies from person to person.
Yes.
One person might tell you, you know what, oh, those Muslim terrorists, they're evil.
Mm-hmm.
And one person might tell you, well, yeah, my Muslim brother, he's a jihadist, he's good. So it really depends on who you ask. But in general, in the context of the movie, he's trying to say that, you know, these terrorist attacks that wreak havoc and wreak, you know, pain and sorrow and all of that,
mm-hmm.
and deaths and so many injuries, right? Those are the evil. And we, the good people who don't want this to happen, we have to unite. And this unity brings about this love for good,
yes.
for, you know, for having like a peaceful society and not, you know, allowing any of these radical ideas or mm-hmm. any of these, you know, terrorist acts to infiltrate the community and society we live in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah, for your nice contribution. Thank you for being with us. And thank you, dear audience, for listening to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. And we finished, criticizing the movie Patriot's Day, a 2016 American action thriller movie about the Boston Marathon bombings. Thank you very much for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
When I saw today, good versus evil, love versus hate, there's only one weapon you have to fight back with. It's love. Wrap our arms around each other. I don't think there's any way that they could ever win.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.